You're listening to Madiba's Radio.
Opula pule Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
Oteche deza Madiba Radio.
Omametse Madiba's Radio.
Akalise na Madiba's Radio.
Lalele I Madiba's Radio.
Lalele Madiba's Radio.
Niko checheredza Madiba's Radio.
Utelerije Madiba's Radio.
You're listening to Madiba's Radio, opening up the waves for you to be heard.
Welcome, welcome back to Science Package and Law Show here on Madiba's Radio Podcast, where we connect, inform, and engage. Ah, it's a beautiful day, beautiful day. And of course, introduce ourselves. My name is Tsiqiwe Gatello, and love the brightest star on your airwaves. And I'm not alone. Of course, I'm with the iconic, the legendary.
Hello, somebody. It is Katlego Mofokeng, also known as Girl with the Nice Pants, on the Instagram streets. We're coming at you on a very, very, very windy Monday morning.
Hey.
But it's okay. We persevere, man.
We're surviving.
One thing about us when Bogotos, come on now.
Like, the wind nearly took us out, but we are still here.
Bona, I feel like I'm in an R&B music video, and like, it's against my own will. Oh. I've never flown that much in my entire life. Beyonce, I don't know how you do it with that wind, my babe.
Because
that
it's like,
fan be working overtime. I cannot.
It's too much because you're just like, you're trying to, you know, walk through the wind and look like an aesthetic, but it's just giving mess sometimes.
Look.
Like,
nothing will test the resilience of Ipondo like the wind in PE. Oh, wow. I'm so proud of my hair unit. Shout out to the girlie. She's holding on for dear life.
Because it's like, hey, we can't have such flying around.
Imagine running after a headpiece in the morning.
Hey.
My goodness. Wow.
It's a lot.
I would lose aura points at this point.
Ish. And you know, once you lose aura points,
there's no coming back. How you doing?
I'm doing good. It's a new week. I mean, I think, I'm not sure if you've heard, but like the past 2 weeks has been like a solar eclipse. It's been eclipse season.
Really?
And you know, they say eclipse season, there's a lot of endings. There's a lot of like transformations. Okay. I feel like we're now out of it now.
That explains so much.
Hey, because hey, those last 2 weeks.
Hey. It explains so much, actually. Wow.
So, you know, we're just excited for this new beginning for the rest of the year. So I feel like it's amazing. It's amazing. How are you doing this today?
I've seen better days, but you know what? One thing about it, I never look like my problems.
Period.
So shout out to that. Yeah, man, we're coming through with it. I'm trying to just move forward. Hopefully, the day gets better.
Definitely. I feel like today's going to get so much better. This week, because, you know, payday is coming.
Oh, yes.
Payday. Like, I don't know. September was rough, guys.
It was. It really was. Like, I'm looking forward to just that notification. Just going kidding. And then maybe, just maybe, we'll actually feel like normal again.
You know, like, mm-hmm. Back to ourselves, because this is not odd. This is
I look like a lot of my problems halfway through, but right now I'm not. But like, ooh, catch me outside and it's just not looking cute.
Ish, yeah, no, a lot is going on. But like, I'm wondering, like, how should we start off this episode? Should we get serious? Should we get light? Like,
Let's get light. It's about to get serious along the way, but hopefully we can like start light, end light, and then just package the seriousness like the inside of an Oreo.
Oh, I love that.
You see?
You know, like, I feel like let's start with like, let's do something a bit different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like in as much as we, you know, December is far away.
Yeah.
It is very far. You know, I feel like now is the time to start planning what you're going to do for December.
Absolutely.
So I feel like if you want to take a young, short lift, I feel like now is the time to start booking the flights, you know.
The solocation, the vacations, the friendcations.
Everything.
Absolutely. Like, decide right now. Look, me and my cousins have Secret Santa. We've decided to go to Kimberley this year.
Okay.
For Secret Santa. Me and my friends have decided to go away for New Year's Eve.
Mm.
So I need destinations.
Like,
ASAP. We're looking for Airbnbs. Mm. We're looking up hotels. We're looking up guest houses. Please let us know, like, where can we go?
Because, and I feel like everybody's like, we should go international.
Absolutely.
But I feel like, hey, you know, international.
Asna mali, my passport.
Hey!
Mind. Wait a minute.
It's 600 rand.
You!
Ay.
We have other expenses, people.
Like,
Christmas gifts.
And now
there's
we
too
must
much
stand at home affairs.
You yeah, no.
Hence why today I wanted to actually discuss like 5 destinations in South Africa that Ooh. Basically kind of, it's giving international, but you can get that international vibe in like locally, you know? So it's you feel like you're another country, but you're actually still in SA.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So now the first one, if you know the Amalfi Coast, you know, that Italian coastline, you know, that type of aesthetic.
Where is this?
Now, if the Amalfi Coast is like northern Italy.
Oh, okay.
So it's like, it's very for, it's like dramatic cliffs and seaside villages. Ooh. And it's just like, you know, it's dramatic.
That sounds romantic.
You know, so mm-hmm. if you want that romantic energy, of course, we have the Gneisenau and the Garden Coast. The Garden Route.
Ooh.
Now, Garden Route, listen, Garden Route is beautiful. Gneisenau, Plettenberg Bay, Tsitsikamma, you know, that whole line of the N2. And it's not far from here. It's literally an hour out from here.
Love that. Okay. You see, that's definitely my solo location spot. Okay, I can see the vision now.
Because, like, you can go jump from Titicama, for bungee jump from the highest bridge.
Oh, cute. I like that.
Or you can go surfing in Gneisenau. There's an elephant park. It's just very foresty. You can go on a boat, just have that coastal vibes.
I'm just imagining just long hair, crisp little white wine something, bikini wads. With a little okay. So, I'm seeing it.
Like,
I'm buying into it. I'm seeing the vision. Okay. I love this.
Definitely, definitely. Now, if you're a Bali fan, you've always dreamed, listen, I need to go to Bali.
Mm-hmm.
There's the KZN North Coast.
Ooh.
Which, okay, like, it's interesting. Sure. Because there's Balito to St. Lucia. Now, if you're into the warm waters and the very foresty but bushy but also tropical vibes,
mm-hmm.
get yourself to Balito. Like,
look, as they always say, you're trying to add a little something.
You know, Zimbali. You know,
exactly. Like, you know, if you're trying to have a little, you see, the sole location can be nice. That vacation with that sneaky link or that situationship.
Ooh.
Can be Balito.
Like,
I'm seeing the vision. A little bit of that warm something. Sunsets looking cute. Cocktails. Okay. I'm in holiday mode already.
Literally, like,
and we're 2 destinations down. I'm already in holiday mode. Let's go.
And it's like, there's 3 months left until December.
So many things can happen in that time.
You know, we can get the money.
Okay.
Now, if you know Iceland is very like rocky with its beautiful, you know, remote landscape. It's a bit rough,
mm-hmm.
but with that roughness, it's very beautiful. Now, if you want that type of thing, there's Cedarburg and the West Coast in Western Cape. Now, if you've never really been there,
mm-hmm.
basically, it's very much so known for its kind of like, I feel like it's underrated because it's a fishing paradise. There's a lot of fishing that happens there, which I feel like is very interesting. So it's like, and it's very low key as well.
Okay.
So it's not like, because you know, when we talk East Western Cape, we're always like Cape Town.
Yeah, anyone got time for that? Let's find a remote location that not a lot of people know about.
And of course, in the Cedarburg area, there's also a lagoon.
Ooh.
So, you know, if you're into, you know, the marine life there is like amazing.
Oh, wow. I like that.
There's even like a casino called like Mykonos, which is similar to the Mykonos in Greece.
It's giving.
So it's like, come on. Like, you can also go to Iceland and Greece with Mykonos. Like, you know.
While you're actually in Western Cape. Okay.
And it's just an hour out from Cape Town.
I'm not mad at that. I think I like that. I like that idea. I'm just trying to figure out, would it be a friend thing or would it be a solo thing? But like solo, it wouldn't just give the vibes because you're trying to check out the marine life.
True.
So you definitely want to do it in a group.
Yeah, I feel like that one's for a group.
Yeah. Okay. I like this.
Okay. Now, the fourth location. Now, have you ever heard of Santorini? Speaking of Greece, Santorini.
Sounds sexy.
Yeah, no, Santorini from all of those white houses. Is it house, like, you know, those
white little places like on the cliff?
Yeah,
like type thing.
Yes.
It's like in Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants or something.
Yeah,
okay, I see that. That's gorgeous.
Like, if you want that aesthetic, there's also a small town also in the Western Cape. Hey, why is everything in the Western Cape?
Hey, you're side eyeing.
Hey,
they are monopolizing the holidays.
Come on now.
What?
But there's a small town called Paternoster.
Oh, never heard of that.
Now, I feel like I also never heard this town. Like, I've only recently discovered it.
Mm-hmm.
And firstly, it's giving Greece, like, completely.
Really?
You know, the white sand, you know, the hills, ooh, as well as, like, just the village slow life.
That sounds dreamy.
Literally. Although I will say, I feel like 5 years ago, you should have bought a house there. Because everybody's discovering it, the rent is coming up. Now, all of a sudden, for a 3-bedroom cottage there, you're going to pay like 20 mil.
Absolutely not. 20 million. Nowadays.
5 years ago, you could have maybe paid like half a mil, 1 mil.
A little something. Oh, 20 mil is crazy.
Yeah, the rent is going up.
That is so insane.
Which is one thing that sucks about when, you know, these low-key places finally get attention.
Yeah.
Because then now everybody's going there. Now the rent just goes.
Now they want to buy houses. Why can't you go there on vacation like everybody else?
You know. How? Like,
they want to get a holiday house.
Honestly. Like, hi guys, we can't do that.
Let's do better. Just visit the place and go home, guys. Why are you trying to colonize other places? Sit still.
Because also, you're not going to work there.
Absolutely not.
Wait,
job. What are you going to do? I'm definitely falling asleep as soon as I arrive. Like, there's no other thing that I'm trying to fall asleep, wake up, just literally pick some fruits from a tree, chew on them and have a good time.
So now, hey, but I guess it's the digital nomads, you know, those, yeah. Hey, that's a whole nother.
Yeah, it's not foreign currency type thing. Yeah, no, so we see the vision.
We see the vision. But speaking about the lost location, now, if you're a fan of mountains, like we're talking like hectic mountains, like the Swiss Alps.
Ooh, okay.
Like if mountains are your best friends, whether when it's sunny, they're nice and green, or where it's like winter, it's like very like snowy.
Mm-hmm.
The place you need to be in South Africa is the Drakensberg.
Oh,
the Drakensberg.
Drakensberg Mountains.
And there's so much to do at Drakensberg, actually. Like you can go horse riding. There's also on the more Lesotho end, there's also like, there's a ski resort.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. There's been a lot of people talk about the ski resorts in Lesotho. So apparently it's gorgeous.
I've seen the things on TikTok. I'm like,
ooh. Like apparently it's really, really okay. That needs a passport, definitely.
Yes.
Yeah, you're gonna have to stand in line at Home Affairs and just hope Uguti is system. It's not down.
Yeah.
Hope for the best.
Hope for the best. And I feel like also going to Lesotho is not that, you know, far.
Yeah, I mean it's inside our country in some way, so you know,
it's not like you have to, like, I mean you could fly there, but you know, you could always take a young nice road trip,
exactly, with the squad, chilling, you know, skiing here and there. That sounds amazing. I like that.
And like there's also like this thing with, it's called the Sunny Pass, where it's like it's not the only way to get into Lesotho, but it's basically like this mountain range type of road where it's like steep. Oof. Like you need, basically you can't just take an ordinary car.
I need a van.
You need a van with power.
Like an actual Ford Ranger type van.
Because it's gravel. Sometimes the weather is hectic. So it's like, hey, it's an adventure. Like I remember I watched the series where it's like, they tried to take like, you know, what do you call this? A Volkswagen GTI, those old ones.
Yeah.
They like kind of modified it and tried to take it up Sunny Pass.
Oh no. It did not end well, did it?
It did not end well. But it was interesting. I enjoyed it. I feel
it's good that they tried.
You know? Because even the people at the border were like,
what did you think was going to happen, my babe?
Like, it just couldn't. I think the gearbox even just finished halfway. So it was just
imagine.
Like, firstly, why are you driving manual up there?
Actually.
Like,
no one has the time to kiki one. No.
No, like, you absolutely need ankles of steel for that, because you are like.
Oh, wow. Okay, I like this. Holiday destinations sound, like, absolutely amazing. I think, I want to do PE, though.
True.
I think a solo location would be really, really dope. I mean, I don't think Jeffreys Bay is a part of PE. It's Eastern Cape, though, right? Or is it Western Cape?
It's Eastern Cape still, but it's not part of, like, Nelson Mandela Bay.
Yeah. Definitely want to try that. You know those, like, those houses by the water?
Ooh.
That is gorgeous. It looks absolutely amazing. Just the problem is getting around the area.
Yeah.
I was looking at it. I'm like, okay, booking is great. But now getting around, I'm going to have to. I can't rent a car. I don't have a license. Oh, the Uber situation is a little murky, so I don't know how I'd actually be able to move that around, but it seems amazing. Blue Water Bay is also good. Had a vacation there once. It was really cute.
I've been wanting to go to Blue Water Bay.
It's serene. Like, it's serene. I like it. It's really, really nice. Very quiet. Very, very calm. Very, very nice. Just a place to get away, man, when you just need some air.
Okay.
But now, I can't think of anything else in PE.
Also, there's Sea View as well.
Ooh.
But it's also like, can you Uber to Sea View? Because it's still in Gqeberha.
Like, yeah.
But it's like, you're going to pay, but it's like.
Yeah, you're definitely going to have to pay a lot.
Hey, it's like going to like Cape Recife.
Oh, apparently an Uber will take you to Cape Receive, but it will not fetch you from there.
That's also what I've heard. I'm like, ish.
I'm not trying to risk it.
Like,
because that sounds so far. I can't imagine walking that far. Especially because, like, you can go, maybe go watch the sunset, but on the way back, it's getting darker and darker. What are you going to do?
And that's not scary because it's just bush.
Exactly.
So
there's no way out. Like, you can't see anything. Oh, no. I'm not trying to risk that.
Yeah, no.
I'm not built for that lifestyle. Ish.
There's so many places, actually, like, that you could discover just in PE, actually.
Exactly.
And I feel like with going back to Jeffrey's Bay, like, I've been wanting to go to Jeffrey's Bay because I think each and every year they have this, like, surfing competition where like surfers from all around the world come and they I just want to witness that,
like the gorgeousness, just the vibes, the water. I can imagine. I want that.
And there's even Grahamstown/Makanda where they always have this film festival.
Oh yes,
yeah,
always wanted that. I've always wanted to go to the art festival. It sounds amazing, but apparently they just don't have like a lot of patrons going anymore.
Ish.
Over time. And I'm just like, bring it to Gqeberha. Let's show you what we can do here. Like, we can make it move. We can make it shake. If
you know,
here. Just one time. 1 year, we're not taking it away from Makanda. We're just saying, let us rent it for them for a year.
Just for
Let's show you what we can do here.
And then maybe we can, you know, collab, you know.
You know,
1 year there, 1 year here.
Something,
you know,
cute. Little shared custody of the festival.
Like, I, you know, hey, now I want to travel. Like,
exactly. Yo. I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, ooh. Actually, I'm not trying to be at work. Okay. I'm trying to be out and about. I'll
go to places. You see, not having a car is such a problem.
It is.
It's such a problem.
Okay, but now, dream destination in the country. Anywhere in the country, dream destination.
Dream destination? I have so many.
Oh, wow.
Like, where are we? Eastern Cape, yes. Yeah, you forgot for a
Double
moment.
Check.
Hey, Eastern Cape, I would definitely say Wild Coast. Have you ever Wild Coast? Oof. Beautiful.
Oh, okay.
Also, there's a small village in Free State called Clarence.
Oh, wow.
Which is like very mountainous and artistic.
Okay.
And you know, what was I watching? I think a politician or somebody got found there in Clarence.
Really?
And I don't know. I'm not sure it was a politician but somebody got found there before they got arrested.
Oh, hectic. Okay.
So I'm just like, was
definitely
this
giving politics.
Yeah. I'm just like, who was it? But that's another conversation.
Okay.
Where else? There's so many. You know, there's this town. What's its name now? Tzanin in Limpopo.
Oh, nice.
Where else? Northern Cape? But
it's
like,
hot in Northern Cape. Northern Cape is hot and dry.
That's the thing.
It's very hot. It's very dry. You know what? Even, what is it? The Big Hole or whatever.
Yeah.
Even that is not, guys.
It's not the vibes.
It's never that deep. I mean, you could go. Definitely. It's like maybe worth seeing and stuff. But it's hot and it's dry. Northern Cape and Northwest are very hot and dry. But like certain aspects of Northwest are like pretty cool.
Yeah.
Northern Cape is just hot. And it's very dry. And sometimes it gets dusty.
Yes. Now you want it's dusty.
You know what I mean?
Like,
it's just not giving. Like, we can handle maybe the heat, but oh, the dust.
Dust.
It's not cute.
Like, is it in Northern Cape where there's a highway where you can drive? Like, there's no speed limit.
I wonder.
I think, yeah, it is where, like, they test out cars.
Really?
Where there's no speed limit. But then, hey, also in Northern Cape, there's also Orania.
Hey!
See? So,
like, also, apparently there's a beach there.
Yes, there is. Also, I want to go there.
But is it nice as a beach? Like, no one ever talks about the beach in Northern Cape.
When I look at it from street view, it's lacking. I'm not going to
really
lie.
It's not giving.
It's not giving, but I feel like it's not giving also gives. It's giving, like, it's very desolate, but it's also like, okay, you're gonna stand there, but what you gonna do?
Okay, it doesn't sound like a good time. I'm not gonna lie to you, Northern Cape does not sound like a good time either way. We're going to Kimberley as cousins. Fede, we're going there because it's family, and I've been there a few times, which is cool, but guys, underwhelming.
But where would you like to go in South Africa?
I've been Northwest, we've done Gauteng, we've done Mpumalang.
Ooh, Mpumalang is beautiful.
Mpumalang, like,
yo!
Oh, I want to experience just the nature, the Kruger. Beauty of it, just everything, you know what I mean? I want to experience that. I feel like it's a great time. I've been to Durban, like, twice, but I haven't really experienced, like, holiday destination sites. Mm. It's just always been like either for work or like for my person. So it's just been nothing very serious. I mean, serious, but like nothing for me.
Yeah.
I think I would love maybe your Balitos type situations, Bali's or whatever else. But honestly, definitely Mpumalanga. Definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, Mpumalanga is beautiful.
Like, I am trying to pop through there and like experience. I could even like B&B hop. Like, that sounds like a vibe. Like, one weekend here, maybe during the week there, and then somewhere else. I need that.
And I feel like that's the beauty about Mpumalanga. There's so much to do where it's like, you can just go.
Like, your itinerary is just full just by going there. And so I want that.
It's giving, like, even when you complete your itinerary, there's still more.
Exactly. That's, I'm trying to get into that. Living in Eastern Cape, I guess, just definitely wanting to experience Eastern Cape as a whole. Mm. But I'm not going to lie to you, the roads on Eastern Cape are insane.
Hey, let's talk about that.
Like,
let's talk about that.
The roads on Eastern Cape are insane. I was traveling to Ekomani and then we were later going to Lady Frere. Oh my goodness. We were on the side of a hill or a mountain or what? And I was like, guys, let's slow down. Like, at this point, let's slow down, because we never know when you're turning. When it's, especially at night. Horrible.
Scary.
Horrible scenes.
Like,
mm-mm.
The potholes, the mountains.
Right?
Like, and people be speeding on these roads.
Exactly.
So now you're
and
like,
you don't care. People are overtaking you on a mountain. You're like, guys. It's never that deep.
It's really not that
deep.
We're
all going to get there. Let's relax.
Like, it's scary.
Yeah. It's very scary. Eastern Cape roads are insane.
Like, we need to do something about it.
That's a different type of driving. You see those K53 people that want to come to Eastern Cape.
Let's see
how good your license works here.
Because here
it's
we don't play.
Nightmare.
Like, it's so scary. Like,
we started you off with some good news, right?
You know.
Do you not feel like you're traveling or having a good time? Can you not see yourself in an aeroplane? Oh, well. There goes that airplane idea.
Yeah.
Because we're about to bring you like heavy hitting news.
Oof. Give it to us.
Oh, it's SRC election season.
Oh.
And I have critiques.
Ooh, lay it all out.
Because I'm not happy with what your school is doing. Your school dropped a very whack poster and said, my children, you are definitely going to be voting on the 25th and the 26th. With a poster from what looks like a free trial on Canva. We're judging first.
No, we're judging hard.
We're definitely judging.
How?
The color schemes, the quality, it's murky. It's like it was done during load shedding. The quality is looking murky. Ngati angazi. We were pirating some kind of network. Yo, guys, ghetto things were happening. But apparently, your elections are not on the 25th and the 26th anymore. It's not on pay day. They decided no. We're not going to make you choose things on payday. We're going to wait. The 7th and the 8th of October is when your SRC elections are.
And did they tell us this?
No, they didn't. They only told us what? Via a SMS.
Like, how?
Yesterday.
You know?
Via SMS. Mind you, they were flooding our memos with that poster. But they can't flood us with a decent poster and a renewed date. Judging
hard.
I'm judging our school. Second thing that I'm judging about is the fact that this entire process is not being explained to the children. Abantwana bakatata don't know what's going on. Guys, it's nomination season right now. Nomination started on the 20th, which was Saturday, which is insane time to start nominations. But we move. Nomination starts on the 20th of September. They end on the 24th, which is 2 days. We have 2 days left. Who did they tell?
I'm also just like, who?
Who did they tell that nominations are open? You can nominate first an organization, a political organization. You can also nominate an independent candidate. If there's one person that you can tell, like, this person is really, really good at it, they don't align with really any other political party and they can just stand on their own, you are able to. But there are prerequisites.
Ah.
We don't know this because your school doesn't say anything to us.
And we need to know such information.
Exactly. So nominations, you need at least 100 people that are going to be nominating you or seconding your nomination in order for you to just form part of any of the slots that are open.
100 people from where? From where?
People barely go to class. people barely, the only place where you can find like close to 100 people, the canteens over there on campus and
yeah.
stuff. Where they're getting food, you might as well just be like, while you're actually getting food,
please
nominate me, guys.
You know,
you're standing in the line, these gotas are taking a long time, start nominating. Let's get on the internet right now. I'll even hotspot you, let's go.
Because
the strength of the internet is not, but like, it's a mess. It's a mess. This school is a mess. They don't say anything. And I think that's the biggest problem. Like, no one said anything. I'm definitely criticizing that.
Because you can't just drop such news and just be like, yeah, this is what's happening, without explaining. Especially because, like, I also honestly don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
Like, I just saw the pin. I'm like, okay, voting season is coming. I just went on the website a few minutes ago and I'm just like, okay, you know, nice website. What's going on? What's like, going on?
It's cute also. Why is the AI assistant named Nolwazi?
Hey!
Why are we doing this, my people?
I'm asking her questions, she's not answering my
questions. Yeah, well, Nolwazi akazi.
So what must happen?
So what's going on now? Judging. I'm judging all of the things that this school is actually putting us through because, wow. Honestly. Mind you, on the 20th, when nominations opened, there was an SRC election seminar. On South Campus at the Melody Cafeteria. I couldn't go, unfortunately. I was writing on that day. The law faculty hates us. And you know what? We've come to terms with it as a people. If we're not writing in the middle of the night, we're writing on a weekend. That's just what happens.
Yeah.
It's like we're side chicks. You must be writing in under the cover of darkness. Or on a weekend. A weekend special. Can you imagine? With the fees that we're paying to be a weekend special.
It's disrespectful at this point.
Embarrassment. Anyway, so they had it, and from what I can tell, it seems that the people that were there are presidential candidates. There were quite a few. Pazma was represented, Sasko was represented, Daso and EFF. And if I'm not mistaken, MK.
Oh, they're coming back.
Are they going to contest is like the very, very questionable part. But like they were all giving out their talks, but I'm not going to lie to you. It looked very sparse, very empty. It looked very empty.
And that says a lot.
And it's because of the fact that they don't advertise this. They like no one gives us like proper marketing on this. Look, if it was really like a proper presidential candidate type debate situation, election, what? It would have been better. Like, I feel like there would have been more people showing up.
Yeah.
And I think also the Melody Auditorium, while it's absolutely, it's not even the auditorium, it's the cafeteria. While it's a great space, I love it. The South Campus Auditorium would have done wonders.
I'm also wondering, especially if they advertise it well.
Exactly.
It could have been there.
And there could have been a lot of crowd engagement. There could have just been like a lot of things. Over the week, I'm not going to lie to you, I've been attending a lot of political gatherings. And I went to the Sasko one. I was prepared to hate. I was prepared to hate on Sasko with all my heart. And then they gave like one of the most interesting talks. And it wasn't supposed to be like a lecture, but it felt like a lecture. And it was basically just a report that they were giving on like what Sasko stands for. I was just like in absolute awe. I was like, wait a minute. This is actually a decent organization. What do you mean?
Like,
your ideals are really, really cool. I think my problem with Sasso has always been their visibility and their stance on things. So they never really show up on campus for certain amounts of things. And when they do, it's always more often than not at the end of something or at the tail end of something.
True.
It's always been my qualm. But like sitting there and hearing them talk about like what they stand for, what it is that they want for students and how they plan to like really help with political education. I was like, oh,
okay.
Your policies and your regulations are actually decent.
Like, y'all pushing P.
But the problem is you're not visible on campus.
True, because when I think of Sasko, the first thing I think about is the events. That time they brought a cow.
You know what
like,
I mean?
Like, I don't, no shade to them, but I never really took them seriously.
One thing about Sasko, they will bring a cow and a jumping castle to campus.
Yeah.
That's one thing about them. Their event, shout out. Umkimbiwona Shembayawas. But my one thing has always been, when students are going through the absolute most. And I'll say this also. I think at the beginning of the year when we were fighting for registration, I remember being there. I don't remember seeing a lot of SASCO people. I remember seeing Daso, EFF, MK, and Pasma. I remember seeing them there. But I don't remember seeing a lot of SASCO people. And that's the worrying part about it is they really never show up. So much so that you question, who are your leaders?
Exactly.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I can point out at the very least, at least one person from each political organization where I'm like, okay, where now I know. Not SASCO.
It's like, you'd ask me, I'd be like, right, question mark.
Like, and there'll be like one person. And even then, it'll be months before I see that person. So that says a lot. And it made me question what it is that they're doing now. So if we get more visibility, shout out SASCO, like maybe we might, you know, lean into you. But honestly, not seeing much. But shout out to them for also inviting me to their events, because it was really, really interesting just to see what they stand for, just to see them actually also call out the fact that a lot of students are not interested in getting politically educated.
True.
And understandably so, because I'm not going to lie, political spaces are, how can I say it, pompous. One thing about them, they are just, we are a Marxist, Lenin leaning, you know, the etymology of an epistemology. Okay, like, we get it. You went to philosophy, great.
But.
Like, great, you use big words, awesome. But students are not learning like that anymore. The current generation is not learning politics like that anymore. They don't want these big words that mean a lot and say very little. They want you to tell them, like, and make things, I think, more relatable.
True.
For students. And more often than not, they don't have that.
Yeah.
Students just don't get that.
It's like, they always feel like they're so far away.
Yeah.
They're not amongst us. They're like separate.
Like, I promise you, we know you're smart. You wouldn't otherwise occupy these high positions of power if you weren't. We totally get that you're smart. But I think it isn't really about a measure of your knowledge when it is time to teach the people that you're trying to build into your constituency. It's more about how can we help you? How can we analyze the problems that you are facing as an individual? And how do we relate to that using our ideology? But we don't have that. People are not seeing that. And also, young people are just not interested in sitting there for a long period of time and hearing you talk about the same old issues over and over and over again.
True. That's another thing.
You're preaching to the choir over a long period of time and it's not cute.
Yeah, it's... Try something different.
I promise you, NSFAS funding, we can deal with the regulations. Okay.
We've been saying that for 5 years.
Like, we get it.
What's new?
What's new? What are you going to teach us that's so brand new, that's out of the box, that we can actually relate to? How can we learn new information about policies? And that's just not it. People aren't interested in hearing that. People aren't interested in, like, I guess, breaking it down. Someone said it, and I think I was very offended, and I don't even know why I was offended by it. They were like, students are not interested in politics because of the fact that you guys are, you know, doing the most and whatever. And they were like, okay, fine, we'll dumb it down. I said, excuse me?
Like,
dumb it down? Wait a minute. We didn't say all that.
That.
First of all, we're saying simplify it. Jargon can go a long way. If you're in parliament and you want to use these big words like epistemologies and whatever, absolutely use that. That's where you're doing it. That's where the job is.
Yeah.
But when you're in front of people, when you're in front of your adults, I mean, even my grandmother's going to look at you like, what do you mean? Epistemology king, Joel.
Like, come on.
Etymology
king. Like, speak English. Like, you know?
What are you doing? My parents are always just like, yeah, Fede, we took you to school to learn this big English. Don't bring it to this household. Don't bring that nonsense in here. Okay? Keep it there in the streets where you're getting educated. When you're in this house, use proper words that we can understand. Words that can also be translated into our language.
True.
Because epistemology or itopakai. What is the Sotho word for that? What's the Zulu word for that? There's no way you can break that down. But what you can break down is understanding, ukuthi, we stand here for students who are unfunded. We're trying to help them by speaking to the relevant parties. You see how easy that is?
Literally, that's what we want to hear.
You see how easy that is? We are currently liaising with no.
Hi.
Sit still. Tabo. Relax.
Like...
This is not the place for that. Go do that on SABC. See, this is not the time for that. And I think that's just the biggest thing. But I cannot wait to see the campaigns.
Like, I'm excited for it. And, like, honestly, I've been wanting to attend these talks, like, you know, Bosasco, but once again, I don't know when and how they happen.
Exactly, and they announced day before.
So what must happen? Like, what must happen?
It's a problem.
It's a problem. It's they're announcing, like, it's a private location type of thing.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to do that.
No.
I'm not going to be jumping through hoops just to get to your event. And, please, tell me in advance.
And I also wish with the Sasco thing, like, all of the parties do such.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, at the end of the day, we want to know, like, who are we voting for and why? Because
right.
If we can't just be there, like, okay, we go, we vote, we're like, inky, pinky, bonk.
It needs to be people that we do know, people we have seen. Mm. I'm not going to lie to you. The reason why I know the people that I do is because I've seen them.
Mm.
I've been, like, and it's not really just about being curious. It's really about they're, like, literally in your face. You have no choice but to see them.
Yeah.
Because they're literally always there on the ground doing something, looking alive. And I think it's going to be very interesting now in campaign season when they're like out here, like, oh, you know, we're doing this. Because, you know, EFF is saying, bacela ma love back. Daso is saying, bona, we've shown you that we are actually here for the people, here for the masses. Itaso yabafundi. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they're coming through with the little cute slogans and whatever else. Haven't heard really much from Pasma or anything like that. And I think a lot of times people have been saying this about the PAC and Pasma. These people are very, very, very well educated, well read, and very, very articulate. But you never ever see them do that.
True.
You never see them speak on things. Like, when you hear someone from Pasma, you're like, you have a wealth of knowledge that I wish I could tap into way more often. But I don't see you long enough or even often enough to be able to tap into that.
Exactly.
And that's so frustrating because you're like, your brain, you're a leader. We can see that. But we don't see it because we don't see your visibility. So what now? What happens now? And that's just the issue with, like, a lot of the parties. I don't lie to you. I don't see MK.
Same. Like, I only saw them once at the beginning of the year. And
I will see a random shirt.
Literally.
In a line at the CAF. And that's it. It's like, I don't see them.
Hmm.
It's so worrying also. Because you're like, but guys, what's happening? Like, this SRC election was theirs for the taking, was a lot of people's for the taking.
Mm.
Especially because during recess, murky things were happening all over Facebook.
So,
and they could have, any one of these parties could have been like, Bona, unlike that other party, we are here for you. We are here to do what's right for you. Nothing.
They just don't take. They don't take the opportunity.
They really don't.
Oh, and it's like, oh, wow, guys. Like,
now it's back to the same groups of people. It's really the decision between the same groups of people that it's always been.
Mm.
And now it's just like, okay, so who are you going to go for? Who can you trust now moving forward in the next year? What is it that students want? I think it's important that we also ask that very important question. What do students want?
True.
What do you want? Who do you want representing you? But also, what issues are so integral that you need to put them forward to these people that we can see, okay, maybe this party aligns with me based on the issues that I've actually mentioned. So let us know on all of our platforms, on our Madiba's Radio everywhere.
Yeah.
Let us know, what do you want? As a student, what is it that you want moving forward, especially from the SRC? What do you want?
Because they need to be able to answer these questions.
Exactly.
And us as students need to be able to as well, like, decide, what do we want, Velevel?
Me personally, I want an accommodation that doesn't have cockroaches and rats.
Literally, can registration be
smooth processes and
process.
Registration?
Why are we paying 15,000 to register now?
Look, 50,000 is all good and well. I had to pay close to 20,000 rand because I'm on campus. And because of my tuition. So tuition and on-campus residences, the registration altogether, close to 20K.
And where must that money come from?
Imagine, where am I going to pull that from?
Like,
in order to just to enter. Nothing else, never mind the fact that we still have fees for the rest of the year. I need, if that's how much I'm going to be paying, at least make sure that the residence is clean.
Mm.
At least make sure that it is painted well. There's no mold on the walls and the doors. Make sure there's a curtain in the room.
Like, come on. Like,
and a chair with the study desk.
The bare minimum.
At the very least.
But now you're paying so much just for standards that are like,
I am literally paying all that just to live in an animal shelter. Nasty business.
Like, it's ghetto.
Dirty business. I cannot. That's not my lifestyle. I don't want that. Honestly, that's all I want. Accommodation that's actually clean, that's decent.
Mm.
Human conditions, guys, please.
Like, we're humans at the end of the day.
Like, yeah.
And I know one question that I've always, not to say I've always had, but like when thinking about like student politics, I remember it was brought up last year actually, but I was like, huh.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the times when we think about, you know, the student parties and their manifestos and what exactly they stand for,
mm-hmm.
I know one person at some point was like, basically, you know how like each party is kind of like the baby of the parent party that we know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I remember somebody, I don't want to say who, but hey, I remember this was a hot debate in the station.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So basically, a lot of times people like assume that, for example, the baby party
mm-hmm.
is the exact same as the parent party with in terms of their values and what they stand for. So in a sense of like, for example, if you stand for EFF on a university level,
yeah,
you also stand for them on a national level.
Mm.
So the debate was kind of like, is that true or does it differ? Because also at the end of the day, student issues and governmental issues are different.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I mean, at the end of the day, the parent party does, you know.
It does trickle down to.
Mm.
I think, I remember we asked this during the presidential debate. Also, last year was election year.
Mm.
So, you know, it was national election.
Yeah.
And then, like, when it came to SRC presidency, it was just like, I mean, come on. And the main question that was asked was, Dasso was one of the biggest ones.
Yeah.
The biggest contenders. And it was like a, you guys stand for something very interesting.
Mm.
The DA, as the parent party, I guess, stands for quite a lot of things. And you've heard from, you know, your Helen Zille's, the apartheid nostalgia that she stands for more often than not. Like, oh, 30 years ago, things used to be different. The streets used to be clean and whatever. You're just like, yeah, and black people used to be oppressed.
Like,
so there's nothing to celebrate there.
Mm.
And then it was us, you know, we asked the president at that time, the presidential candidate, we're like, okay, but like, what do you stand for then?
Mm.
Like, what is it? And it was, look, with regards, you can ask me on a national level what it is that I stand for.
Mm.
But we can also differ in opinions.
Mm.
It's very possible for us to be in one huge party, but to differ in how our opinions are.
Mm.
But I think more often than not, it's parties like that oftentimes differ in opinions. Whereas you'll see your Saskos and... In as much as Sasko always says they're not the baby party of the ANC, they just say they have a common vision.
Mm.
So at least you can see that there's uniformity in regulations and their thought processes and their visions. Same thing with EFF Youth Command and the EFF on national level.
Yeah.
They have similar thoughts, ideologies, and visions. But now the only differing part is Dasso, where you're like, okay, you don't stand for some of the policies or some of the things that are being said by your elders or whatever else.
Yeah.
But why is it that you don't share the same vision? Why is it that you differ? And what does it say about not just your organization on campus, but the organization itself on a national level?
True.
And these are very big questions we're asking then. It's just like, okay, fine. Look, you can say you differ in opinions, but what does it say about the uniformity?
Because also at the end of the day, it's like, I guess in Dasso's situation, it also has the sense of like, not to say distrust, because it's like, because like you differ from the parent.
Yes.
Can we really trust that? Because you don't want a situation where, okay, we're going with you. And then all of a sudden now you go back to.
Exactly.
What the now parent.
Now things are looking very murky.
Yeah.
Now we're sitting there like, what does it mean for our policies?
You know?
What does it mean about us on campus?
Mm.
You know what I mean? And it's also just asking, like, look, we fully understand. Look, we understand ANC stance. Some days we don't.
Hey.
Because ANC will embarrass us. But we really do know what they stand for. Mm. And I think that's why I'm like, we can say similar things about them and SASCO. In the sense that they're great at writing out policies and laws and regulations, amendments, all that. We love the way they legislate. Their policies are amazing. Their implementation absolutely sucks.
Because,
you know,
yeah,
we can say that about SASCO too.
Mm.
I sat there and I was like, I didn't even know this is what you guys stood for. Mm. But this is absolutely amazing. The implementation sucks. Definitely. So I'm like, okay, there's a level of uniformity. And we can always say, okay, like when we're criticizing them, now we can say, okay, Fede, we understand what you stand for, but this is our criticism of you. And it's the same criticism we have of your parent. Then we can sit here with EFF and we can be like, we understand what you stand for. They stand for Bona. They're radicals.
Yeah.
And it's not like violent or aggressive radicalism, but it's being radical in the sense that we want nationalization of certain things.
Mm.
And what we want is the wealth of the land for the people, by the people.
Mm.
We understand that. You stand for that here also on campus. However, the problem comes then when a party says, we differ from our parent and we're going to be fighting for you.
Mm.
When the parent itself, we can look at it, and the problem is, you know what, when I said ANC will embarrass us, look at what Cyril did, saying the DA's municipalities are doing so absolutely amazing, and we're like, friend, you know, sometimes it's okay to keep quiet.
Like, you don't have to speak.
Like, I'm gonna hold your hand when I say this. You could shut up.
Like, cupcake.
And no one is gonna judge you for it.
Because
you could just sit there, look cute, and it's okay.
Mm.
The same way you were quiet in front of Donald Trump, when you had your hands together, clasped like umnagetu, you could have done the exact same thing. You could have kept quiet. Because now, we're about to show you that that's not the truth.
Mm.
Because more often than not, these municipalities are only benefiting the privileged few.
Exactly.
Not the many. And I think on campus, we're like, we know who the privileged few are.
Yeah.
And we know what students are going through. So we can look at DASO policies and we're like, oh, look, they have meal a day. They come through for students and they do this. So yes, they do differ from the parent.
Mm.
But we can't also take away from the fact that you are high key one thing.
Yeah.
You are literally representing that parent on a university level, at an institutional level. So we can't take that away from you. But we can say, okay, fine, from the things that we've seen you do, from your meal a day, from your protests, from you standing up, from you even engaging students, we can tell the difference in the way that you move. But you cannot judge us for also looking at you sideways.
True, because
you can't judge us from looking at you sideways because, I mean, what are you doing? what is this? What are your parents doing?
Playing.
Like, what is this? Also, can we hold them accountable to what is being done by the party? Because, I mean, ultimately, they're like a little small group of people.
True.
Compared to like that big, big, big party. But also, Side eye. Definitely side eyeing. Because once you start asking them about that, they give you very political answers.
Hey, and they do.
Once you start asking very political answers.
You even hear some that's like, listen, on a student level, I'm like this. But
yeah.
On a personal level, they're elsewhere. You're like, okay. Wait a minute, you look spicy. And it's like, okay, so we're like, how can you even do that though? Because it's like, huh? I mean, there is that nuance where it's like, on a student level, you could be for this party, but on a national level, it differs.
Yeah.
But also, back to the thing of like, hey, you know, everything is interconnected.
Exactly.
So it becomes tricky.
There's an overlap of it. It trickles down to it, and you just, it does get worrying. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, because I guess it all depends on somebody's own morals and what they truly believe in.
Yeah.
At their heart. So if their morals are consistent, most likely what they are going to vote for on a national level and on a student level would match.
Yeah.
It would most likely match.
Definitely.
Because if it's like completely opposite, then it's like, so what do you stand for?
Actually, which ideology do you most relate to or connect with?
Because on a university level, you're on socialism, but there you're capitalism. How make that make sense?
What is going to happen? Actually, you're confusing a lot of people and you're confusing us too. Yeah, politics is very interesting.
Yeah, no, it is very interesting.
But it's very tiring too. I'm not going to lie to you. I feel like these next 2 weeks are going to be the most tiring I've ever experienced in my entire life. I'm going to be running around. And you know what? I'm going to enjoy Ikwijo, but I'm not going to enjoy the drama.
Because it always brings drama.
Honestly.
And I'm excited for the presidential debate.
I look forward to it too.
Like,
hopefully we can get it all put together really, really, really well. Honestly, I do worry about, I think with when it comes to especially debates of a political level, it's deciding whether or not to have it in front of a group of people. Deciding whether or not students need to be there for the presidential debate. And I think if anybody really has like a suggestion, definitely let us know. But the difference, the problem with it is whoever's going to be leading or facilitating that thing has to be able to handle an entire crowd.
Yeah.
And the thing is, these people, when they actually get together, especially like opposing parties, they get really disrespectful really quickly.
Ooh.
It gets disrespectful very quick. So once somebody says something, let's say a president stands up and says something, then their entire group actually is with it. Then another group is like, boo! And then it just becomes a whole cacophony of mess. Everybody's screaming at each other. How do you get the crowd to just relax
and chill?
Relax, behave. Like, everybody's going to get their chance to have a conversation. Everybody will, even with the inputs, having to divide and like go for a Q&A. You have to give each and every one organization like somebody who can ask a question. And if you get two people from one organization, it's, why are you favoring more? One more than the other. It's just a lot.
So you need to have a, you need to be that person.
Bona.
You have to have a liver.
You have to be able to stand up in front of those people. I'm not built for that lifestyle. I'm sorry.
Yo.
I'm not built for that lifestyle. I cannot. I've seen it. I saw it last year during the national election debate. That man looked so tired by the end of it. He was sweating profusely. I said, I don't want to do that.
It's just a lie.
That's ghetto as hell. No. I don't want to do that.
Because what must you say when the chaos is happening?
Exactly. Like, how are you going to keep them quiet?
Quiet?
And when all of a sudden they start, then they turn on you and they're like, you're showing favoritism. Oh, no. Oh, get me out of here.
Yeah, like, get out, you know?
Absolutely not. Get somebody else to do it. We'll be there, absolutely. But Nani Nisile, sometimes you guys don't know how to behave. Get somebody else to do it.
Like, this is too much now.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, no. But yeah, it's been quite an interesting episode, actually.
It really has been.
Like,
we've been traveling and then we've been critiquing.
Hey.
And you know what? We weren't supposed to critique for long, but honestly, that poster irritated me. I will cry until the very end of time. I hate that poster.
Because we could do so much better.
Like, and you know what the thing is? We have a brilliant marketing. The marketing department at the school is absolutely phenomenal. They have absolutely amazing things. Who designed that poster? I have a problem with them specifically. Who decided on it?
And why?
Because what party is turquoise? Why is that color on the poster? That shade of orange is horrible alone. What party is orange?
Like, let's be serious.
Like,
now,
let's be for real. Like, I feel like they just randomly put things together and they were like, you know what, man? They just announced this last minute. Let's go. Let's push with it. I have qualms with them.
Because take yourself seriously.
Exactly. And also political parties, can you guys please do like an information video telling us who the people are? Because I have a bunch of names. And that's only because of the fact that I went to this event. So I have the names of the people who are like standing up for these faculties, who are going to be there for Opidani and whatever else. But the rest of the people don't know.
So, and we need to know.
Like, we need to know. No. We need to find out. But soon enough, you will definitely, if you're going to chill and, like, hang out and hear call out, you'll definitely hear from the presidential candidates very, very soon.
Ooh.
Hopefully, it does not end in disaster. Yeah. Please behave yourselves. Please. We beg.
Especially in this domain.
Yes.
Like, you cannot be out here.
You
can't be out here in the studio acting somewhat.
You know what I mean? Don't cause a ruckus. Keep it cute.
Mm.
Keep it chill. And yeah, definitely let us know what you think our SRC election season is going to look like.
Yeah.
If that poster is anything to go by, it's going to be chaos. Turquoise and orange chaos.
Yo, like,
I'm so annoyed by that poster.
Cuz what is that?
Like, they could have done so much and they chose that.
That, like, Yeah.
Please tell me you have better news for me. you have something more interesting to tell me before we say goodbye to the people.
Oh, do I? Hey, you see, the poster even made me forget. But okay, what do you want to hear? Do you want to hear about the principles? Or do you want to hear about, you know, reading and studying?
Ooh, because it's close to, like, exam season, and we're trying to actually, like, lock in for second semester. This is the last, definitely the reading and the studying.
Okay, let's talk about that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, on Saturday, I went to this speed reading workshop.
Oh, nice.
So, basically, how it teaches you how to read faster. So, now, we get there, and they're on some listen. The way that you've been taught about how to read, especially as children, is a bit murky because you know how, like, once you learn your ABCs and, like, how to say words and how to make sentences, they just leave it there.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you know what to
you're
do.
You're good now.
Yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
But then as you realize, as an adult, it's tricky.
Mm.
Because one problem they also pointed out is the fact that when you're an adult, you know, have you ever read something and then you've read a whole paragraph and then you're just like, what did I just read?
Absolutely.
Or it's like you lose focus like this. Like, yeah. You know, your phone pings and all of a sudden you're out of study.
Absolutely not.
Because they also told us that, fun fact, in order to get into focus mode or concentration, it takes you 7 minutes.
Oh.
7 minutes just to lock in.
Just to lock in.
So imagine you took 7 minutes to lock in, and you finally lock in, and then
you hear a notification.
Ish. Now you need to find another 7 minutes again.
Just start over. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, no. It's shocking. And I feel like one tactic they told us is that, number one, when reading, finger on the page.
Oh, wow.
Finger on the page. We had to vow to never lift our fingers off the page when reading. Because although when you're younger, the teachers are on some, you must not do that. Oh, mm-hmm. You are grown up now. Why are you reading like this? Because what happens sometimes when you're reading, you look at the word before, you look at the word after. All of a sudden, your eyes are at the bottom of the paragraph.
Spoiler alert.
You know, mm-hmm. A lot is going on and you get overwhelmed. So finger on the page.
Oh, wow.
Number one. Number two as well is that instead of like getting fixated on a word, try to like read the full sentence as one.
Okay.
Like, we even did this training where it's like we got books, and this was actually so crazy. And basically, like, we had to like do this activity. We had to like swipe the page, not read the whole time. And they're like tap, 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 and like just swipe. To kind of train us to read faster and to see words as groups.
Okay.
And then after the activity, basically, they also taught us this thing called like the question mark technique,
mm-hmm.
where basically, like, you put your finger on the beginning, well, like the third sentence of the page, and you kind of like swipe down.
Okay.
Just to kind of like gauge like if all the words on the page.
Mm.
So like with those techniques, it kind of helps you read faster because now you're no longer being like, the cat has 5 wings. It's like,
let's get to it.
Let's get
What's
to
this
it.
Cat doing? What is it getting up to?
Because like, in the beginning of the whole program, we kind of did like a test of like to see how many words per minute are we all at.
Oh, wow.
Now, the average for most people is like 100 to 200.
Per minute?
Per minute.
What? Damn.
Which the organizers themselves, it's like they are at like 2,000 words, 4,000 words
a minute.
A minute.
Guys.
I was like, we were all just like, ha. Because after
how?
We all... I was also shocked. Imagine reading like 5,000 words in a minute.
Imagine that. That's like a lot of work to be like processing in your mind. That's talent.
That is talent indeed. Because even like most people got between like 100 to 200 on like the first test.
Okay.
And they were like, what if we told you that you can double it? And we're all just like, all right, no, we can't.
You're selling us dreams.
You're
but
selling
go
us
ahead.
Dreams. Until we actually, at the end of the program, you know, after we had lunch.
Because like, one thing about them, they will feed you.
One thing about interview, they always go feed you.
Come through catering.
Like, catering is always good. But we did the activity again.
Mm-hmm.
And most people's results actually did double.
Really?
Like, for example, mine started was 254 per minute.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also comprehension rate to see like, okay, yes, you can read so many words per minute, but did you understand
what it is that you're reading? Oh, wow.
So like my comprehension rate was 64.
Okay.
So then after the whole day, mine went up to 450 per minute.
Oh!
With a 93% comprehension.
Okay!
So I was like, okay, period.
Come through workshop?
Like,
I like that.
So it helped indeed. And even like, when it comes to studying, they were like, listen, y'all are studying wrong. We are studying. The first thing they
always... I definitely relate to it like on a very big level. Hey. One thing about law, guys. Oh, what?
Like,
it's too many words at too many given times, and it's too much information to have to regurgitate. Okay, how are we studying wrong? What do we need to do?
Firstly, stop taking notes from the textbook.
Oh, I already stopped.
Like, the rewriting of notes is not going to work.
It's useless, isn't it?
It's useless.
It really is. It's, and like, it's a waste of paper.
Yeah. It's such a waste of paper. Like, they always say that, you know what, you need to do, you need to make mind maps.
Okay.
And don't, like, for example, like, be putting full words on the mind map.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of just, like, once you take, like, the first read, just write on short words that you remember.
Okay.
And then after the first read, and after, you know, your first little mind map, go back for a second read. And then from that second read, now you can detail the mind maps even more.
Huh.
So then after the second read, you review the mind map to see, okay, this is what I've covered thus far.
Mm-hmm.
And once you've seen that, okay, there's still some information missing, then you can add again to the mind map. Make sure there's colors. There's always motivate, have so many colors on the mind map because, okay, we memorize through colors. You can't just, you know, have black and white there.
I color code my thing, so that's going to be a bit of a problem for me just because I relate certain things by color. But I think I like that idea because, yeah, you do really remember things by color for real.
True.
Oh, wow.
And then after that, they say that once you're done with the mind map of a certain section, post it up. So, for example, they say invest in a whiteboard, invest in paper. Like, your room must look like mind maps. And apparently it works because she even made an example of, like, her husband.
Mm-hmm.
He did this for, I think he was, I don't know what course he was, but something in law.
Mm.
So, he applied these techniques in law and he passed with cum laude.
Oh!
He has cars, he has houses in Mauritius, he owns a business, like, he's successful. And we're like, oh.
Got it.
Oh, damn.
It's 46 seconds and I don't know when that was. Back again.
Okay.
It stopped again. There it is. Okay.
Okay. So do we continue? Or?
Yeah. Okay, so he's getting cum laude. He's thriving at life because of the fact that he was out here on the colorful mind map.
Mm-hmm.
Guys, people have literally the key to success and they haven't been giving it to us.
Literally.
We've been writing notes. The note thing is so insane.
Like,
it's insane because, honestly, at some point in time, you give up writing notes.
Yeah, you really
Because there's
up.
So many.
And there's a lot.
There's just too many things to recall.
And even like when it comes to like writing notes, especially in the lecture hall, the way you sit actually makes a difference to your listening. For example, they say what do they call it? It's called active registration.
Mm-hmm.
So your legs, both of your feet on the ground.
Okay.
And then you must be facing forward towards your lecturer.
Mm-hmm.
And then ideally your arms mustn't be crossed. But they must be, your whole body language must be towards the lecture. So not this thing where you're chilling and, you know, you're chilling your seat, your arms are crossed, you're sleeping. No. Because once you're in a state of active registration, you'll catch everything.
Have I been doing life wrong? Like, I feel like I've been doing school wrong.
Literally, like,
I feel like, okay, we need to, like, rethink the way we've been doing school, people. And I think also, I wish we'd learned this like earlier. I think I wish we'd learned this maybe in first year or even in school general. Because one thing about it, Shem, high school, we were just skating through life.
Yeah.
We were just skating. If I told you guys what I was doing in high school, you'd have a different type of respect for me because, wow.
I mean, like.
What a life. I was just living life on the edge. And now varsity, it's just. Honestly, like skating by, but I think at some point in time, like within law, it's so hard to get on by with those type of study methods that I've been using.
Yeah.
So whereas in humanities it works, within law it doesn't because of the amount of information. It's really hard to like rewrite every single thing in the textbook or like the important parts. It's just damn near impossible.
Mm.
And even like having to remember case law and they're like, yo, I wanna have a case law job.
And they talked about case law that, hey, her husband and case law, he would literally like go around telling her about it in the kitchen, like this case, that case, that case, that case.
I want to be able to like live a life where I can like regurgitate case law at random. Like I want one of my family members to be saying something. I'm like, you know what that reminds me of?
Mm.
This case. I want to be able to be there. And I just, it's just hard to get into it with all of the information around it.
Because it's a lot of information.
It like, is.
Ooh, hi. And y'all are always writing exams.
And you write in the middle of the night. That's my irritation. It's like we're writing at night. Do you know how hard it is to write at night? You're thinking of sleeping.
Yeah. Now you need to be in the case.
Exactly.
At 8 o'clock.
But you know what? I think I like this. I like the idea of a different type of way of studying. Mind maps. Guys, I'm going to try that.
And to see how it works.
I'm going
to
try that. That maybe. Is, we're on to something. Look at us.
Like, we learn things.
Look. We are educating you. We are taking you on trips. And we're talking about politics. But nah, where else would you want to be on a day like this besides with the Law Show and Science Package?
Period, period, period.
We're going to have to say goodbye, unfortunately. But you know what? We gave you the best of the best on this beautiful day. We're hoping that the PE wind doesn't sweep you away. Stay still.
Hold your hats, hold your pondos, hold everything.
Hold everything. You know, be, what is it that you said? Active.
Registration.
Yes. Register what it is that's going on around you. I love this.
Yes.
I have been Katlego Mofokeng, also known as Girl with the Nice Pants on the Instagram streets, but I haven't been alone.
Of course, my name is Katlego Ndlovu, and you can catch me on Instagram at Katlego.
Love this. We will see you next week, same time, same place. As always, have fun, but not too much.
Hey, listen, and also, I'm just going to say this, like, clearly, those people who made that poster were not an active registration.
Yeah.
Because if they were,
not one activity, not one registration happening in that room.
Hey.
Judging. Turquoise. Yeah, no. I'm actually going to get my high blood up again.
But of course, bye.
Bye.
The best youth station in the Bay.